Welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle. Today, we will be going over an exciting opening weekend in the CSFL and the MSFL. I usually do a lead-up episode about a week or two before the season starts. Fortunately, I've started a new position and a new job, so I didn't quite have the time to get that done this summer, so I apologize. So this is the week one episode, kickoff episode, whatever you want to call it. So that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into it. I'll go over the CSFL first, and then we'll hit the MSFL. Technically, the first game of opening weekend was Fonfon versus Quincy on a Thursday night, but I'll go CSFL first, MSFL second. Just keep it easy that way so I don't have to hop back and forth. So that being said, we'll go right with the CSFL action. Our first game of the CSFL season was Caldwell versus Cornell. Caldwell won that one 16-14, and my player of the game was sophomore running back Devin Turner. He finished the game with 109 rushing yards, also added a reception for 12 yards. So Caldwell won this one with their usual game-winning formula. Strong running game, tough defense, accuracy in the passing game, and using that running game to set up play action. This has been, you know, their formula for about the last three seasons now, and they've had three winning seasons in a row, and they're going for another one, and they look like they should do just that as they make a run at a CSFL championship. The running game, again, was just spearheaded by Devin Turner. 100-plus yard game, first game of the season, and he is coming off of a rookie year that saw him win CSFL Rookie of the Year. So expect him to be even better this season, you know, more experience, body's more mature, mentally more mature, and he knows what to expect with some of these defenses that he's going to see in the CSFL moving forward. The other thing that really, really helps this offense, again, as I mentioned, used as, you know, attachment of the running game is just their accuracy and their play action passing game. And that's going to be, you know, with Frank DeMio at the helm. He had a textbook game, threw 454 yards, two touchdowns. Again, not always going to be a guy who has to throw 350 yards, has to throw for four touchdowns. You know, he's capable of doing so. That's just not their offensive formula, you know, 9 times out of 10. So might not be, you know, 1, 2, or 3 in terms of passing yards at the end of the year. Should be up there in passing touchdowns, right? He's good for anywhere from 1 to 3 passing touchdowns a game. But don't let the total, you know, numbers at the end of the season fool you. He's as accurate of a passer. Can make all three throws in all three phases, you know, short, intermediate. He can push the ball downfield. Just because he doesn't always, you know, throw for 350 yards, don't think it's because he isn't capable of doing so. He just isn't asked to do so. So DeMayo is going to be as good of a quarterback as you're going to have in the CSFL and in spring football. And I've mentioned him as a guy who, you know, depending on how the cards fall, he could be in a conversation for MVP as well. He's always going to be a guy in conversation for, you know, CSFL All-Conference, our national awards that we do with the CSFL Hub as well, just because of his accuracy, his poise, his experience, and the way he captains the ship for a very, very lethal Cougars offense. Defensively, again, part of that formula, first half is running the ball, second half is just great, great defense, and they did just that in this game. You know, there was a surge from Cornell late. Ultimately, they almost got it done, you know, but Caldwell defense did hang on and secure the victory. Senior defensive lineman Darian Davis had, you know, maybe one of the better games of his career. He had 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. But the Cougars secondary is really going to be the name of the game and the story more times than not. And when you're talking about this Caldwell defense, junior defensive back Kyle Redis had 3 tackles, 3 passes broken up. Junior defensive back Giarno Longbardi had 5 tackles with 2 interceptions as well. So this Cougars defense, I've written about it before, is just, you know, once in a program lifetime, essentially. You know, some teams might have one corner. You could argue is top 5 at the position. They might have 1 safety. You could argue is top 5 at the position. But for Caldwell to have 4 guys who arguably are top 5 at their position, it's just, again, generational. You're not going to get that a lot. for teams. It's hard to bring in that much talent at one time and have guys all hit their peak, you know, at the right time and be in the right grades, you know, at the right time. They're all essentially, you know, juniors and sophomores, so they're all playing together. I think Tyquil Anderson might be the oldest of the bunch now as a senior, and him and Redis have played for 2 or 3 years now together. So, again, very, very unique situation there that's going to make it hard for opposing offenses week in and week out, particularly when they want to throw the ball and push it down the field. So Cougars ended up, again, winning this one 16-14, and they head home next week to welcome Chestnut Hill. On the other side of this one was Cornell. This was Cornell's debut under their new coach, and things appear to be headed in the right direction. Again, offensive surge late, almost saw them take this one and steal it from Caldwell. Lots of new faces, lots of new names, lots of same names at new places. Senior Cooper Wise, who was a defensive back on the team for a few years, got the nod at starting quarterback. He played quarterback in high school, as one of those guys who's considered an athlete. But they've had guys like this the last few years. If you remember the name Will Griffin a few years ago, he was their best player, dynamic running back receiver type. He was there, originally brought there as a quarterback and was their emergency quarterback when push came to shove. Evan Nicholas, who's on the team now, is a defensive back. He's played some quarterback in the past. Also done some good things for them at receiver. Now appears to have settled in at that defensive back position. So they're no stranger to getting a guy to transition to a position or transition back to a position they played previously. So it appears Wise is going to be their quarterback, at least at this point in the season. He threw for 152 yards, but three interceptions did not help their case. The fact that they still almost won it and through three interceptions is a testament to what they might be able to accomplish this season. Senior running back Ralph Florenville ran for a team-high 66 yards, also added a touchdown. And again, Wise was the other touchdown that came late. Got a QB scamper in the red zone to put up some points on the board. And again, almost had them kind of take it from Caldwell at the end. A blocked extra point that they ran back for two was the 2 points. That gave them 14, two missed extra points, or I forget if they went for two and missed it both times or one or the other, but they were really close. Like they were really close. I don't think you'll be able to sleep on this Cornell team like you could teams in the past. Similarly, like to last year and the year before, there are some guys who've come back from the Division I team, so we'll see what that experience can bring. There's been some guys who've come down who haven't really done anything, to be quite honest. There's been some guys who've come down who've been good players, and you know, there's guys who come down and they're just in the middle. So they had at least two or three guys come down from the Division I team. Two of them was splitting time last year. So it'll be interesting to see what some of those guys who were capable of making the Division I team are going to be able to do in the CSFL. Last year, Colton Kotecki, who was their best player as a receiver. He started his early career on the CSFL team, then he went up and he came back for his final season and was their most dynamic playmaker, but in an amazing fashion to end the season last year with Cornell and Caldwell. Kyle Redis really had one of his better performances against him that ultimately won Caldwell the game last year against Cornell. So wasn't the difference maker for Cornell in this game, those players, but it'll be interesting to see what those players can do moving forward. I think it's abundantly clear that this Cornell team is going to be better than last year's team. So despite the loss, I think they might have put the league on notice. Like I don't think they're going to be pushovers like they were in previous seasons. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do as the season goes on. Next week, Cornell hits the road to visit their Ivy League rival Penn. Speaking of Penn, next up we have Chestnut Hill versus Penn. I was at this game Friday night, beautiful night for some football in Philadelphia. Chestnut Hill won this one 27-10. My player of the game is sophomore quarterback Anthony Cancellara. He threw for 344 yards, three touchdowns, also added 17 yards on the ground. This was just the second win against Penn in program history. So history got made on this night. I actually was a part of the Chestnut Hill team in 2018 that beat Penn for the first time in program history. So there are some coaches who are still involved in the program who were on that team or coached on that team. Lots of parents who are still heavily involved in the program. So this one really meant a lot to a lot of people. And it's just a testament to the improvement that Chestnut Hill has made. You know, similar to Cornell, Chestnut Hill was not in a good place, you know, the last season or two, but you could just tell from the size of the team, the development of some key guys like Cancellara, addition of some new impactful players, that this Chestnut Hill team, again, similar to Cornell, is not going to be the same team that other teams are used to seeing in years past. So it was definitely an explosive win, a great win for that team and that program and everyone involved who's been there for quite some time now, Chestnut Hill. And again, Anthony Cancellara, one of the key components for this win, threw for a program record 344 yards with 3 touchdowns. One of those touchdowns, and again, a big chunk of those yards, was actually a 99-yard touchdown, which is the longest touchdown in program history. So lots of records broken on this night by Cancellara and the Chestnut Hill Griffins. Quarterback looks a lot more comfortable in his second season. You know, he split time with senior quarterback C.J. Small last season. They both had their ups and their downs, but it appears Cancellara is really taking the position by the horns, and he'll be the quarterback moving forward should everything stay the same. His improvement is going to be something that really, really drives the Griffins. He's going to be one of the catalysts of this team, not just this year, but in the years moving forward. And if he continues to develop and gets better and can produce performances like this, the Griffins will be in a very, very good place for years to come. His favorite 2 targets on the night were freshman wide receiver Kendrick Branch and sophomore wide receiver Kyrie Griffin. Between these 2 guys, I think Branch had the 99-yard touchdown. I saw Kyrie hauling some one-handed catches, making guys miss, shaking dudes out of their cleats. So the pair really just had an excellent, excellent night. Those 2 combined for 11 receptions, 233 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So offensively, the Griffins looked more explosive than they have in the last few years, to be sure. And if they can bottle that up and continue to perform like this and get performances like this out of receivers, their junior tight end Nico Campo played a good game. He had a couple of devastating blocks. Also had a touchdown for Cancellara's 3rd touchdown on the day. If they can continue to move forward in this positive direction, the Griffins will be headed to where they want to be sooner rather than later. Defensively, again, holding this Penn team down was a big, big result of some of their, again, guys who've returned, who've developed, and are going to be able to make plays for them. Sophomore linebacker Lex Williams led the team with 11 tackles, had 1 tackle for loss, and 1 pass broken up. And even though the Penn receivers did make some acrobatic catches to start the game, defensive backs had a very, very good position most of the time. And again, you know, a broken clock can be right twice a day. You know, sometimes they're just going to heave it up and they're going to make some of those catches. But other than that, the Chestnut Hill defensive backs did a very, very good job. Sophomore DB Justin Opong had 3 tackles, 1 pass broken up. Actually finished the game with 2 interceptions, one of which was a pick 6. So had one early in the game, midway point in the game, I should say, for the pick 6. Then he had one late to seal the game. So, again, offensively and defensively looked like they brought the right guys in. And the guys who are returned have definitely improved from last year. So the Griffins are in a really, really good spot. All-time program win as they hit the road next week to visit Caldwell, which should be a great game. Just looking at the athletes that both of these teams have, really interested to see the Caldwell secondary match up with these Chestnut Hill wide receivers. So that'll definitely be a game to watch next week. Other side of this one, we have Penn. Similar to Cornell, there were some big momentum swings. This was a close game for a while, just a 1-score game for a while. But ultimately, Chestnut Hill started to pull away from Penn. They, like many teams in the CSFL and the MSFL, debuted a new quarterback, junior quarterback Ty Shear. Did not have a great day, threw 430 yards with 2 interceptions. Did show off his mobility. He's a lot more mobile than I was anticipating him being. He led the team in rushing yards. He had 65 yards on the ground, but the offensive line did not do him any favors. There was at least 2 instances where Penn had got a short 4th and 1, 4th and 2, and they tried to convert with Ty, and the Chestnut Hill defense just blew him up. I think he had 65 yards on 20-something carries. So that's definitely something they'll have to monitor. You know, it's one thing when you have a Cassid Raymond or Eddie Jenkins or a Nick Ditterding who Navy had some years ago. These guys who can really, really, really hit a home run and are durable enough that you can run these design quarterback runs. But, you know, I'm not quite sure he's that level of athlete. He's not slow, but I would hate to see him get hurt, particularly with Penn already having a nasty case of injuries across the board, some receivers, some running backs. So, you know, definitely want to monitor that. Would love to see him, you know, bounce back from this performance and have a good season. But that's where my mind immediately went, knowing that they've had a case of the injury bug go around early in the season, and this was just their first game. 130 yards, a bulk of it came on some just acrobatic catches from senior wide receiver Danny Cole and freshman wide receiver Andy Folletta. Danny made an incredible acrobatic catch. I don't even know how he caught it. Even on the film, it's like blocked and obscured. But just a crazy, crazy catch, deep ball. That sure threw him. And Andy had an acrobatic catch or two that really helped him move the ball. But wasn't much coming from Penn, the Penn offense, outside of that. Defensively, Penn is definitely still solid. They have guys like sophomore linebacker Charles Taukes, who is going to be a bright spot for them, you know, for the duration of his career. He's definitely a very, very solid linebacker. They've had a long history of guys, the man in the middle there, and he's another guy who's going to be, you know, a pretty great player when it's all said and done, and you look at his resume when he's all done. He led the team on a night with 10 tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss. So definitely going to need to improve in terms of the Penn team. They have some guys who are going to be able to make some plays, so it'll be interesting to see how they get better throughout the season. And they head home next week to take on their main rival, Cornell. You know, the Ivy matchup isn't always the game to watch. You know, Penn has been historically strong the last few years, and Cornell hasn't been as much. But you always play your rival tough, even years where Penn was objectively just on paper better than Cornell. They've still giving them some games, even years with like Eddie Jenkins and Mike McCurdy and such. But I think this year they're a little bit more even. They're as even this year as they've ever been since I've been covering the league, since I've been involved in the league in 2015 and covering the league since 2019. This is as even as they've been. So it'll be interesting to watch those two teams play next week. Cornell will be on the road going to Philadelphia to take on Penn. Next up, we have our last CSFL game of the weekend. This was Navy versus St. Thomas Aquinas Stack. Navy won this one 27-14. My player of the game was senior quarterback Brandon Atwood. He threw for 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, added 19 yards on the ground. Navy was down early in this one, but despite that early deficit, they found their way back into the lead and did not let it up for the rest of the day. Again, the senior signal caller threw for 215 yards, 3 touchdowns. Something that was very unique about this game, you know, if you know anything about the Navy offense and what they like to do, very heavy with the running game. Some Hall of Fame all-time great running backs. You got your David Williams, your Eric Willimon, Caleb Champion, Brendan Clements, Matthew McGees, and as recently as Alex Tota, who might be the best out of all of them, if you ask the right person on the right day. This was the first time that I can remember. Again, I'd have to do some real detective work, but first game, again, since maybe I've been involved in the league and playing as a player and covering the league, that they did not have a rushing touchdown. Again, and that's when you think about what they want to do and how they want to attack. It's just interesting. You know, it could be a testament to St. Thomas Aquinas' defense that they let one up. You know, I don't think they have a guy like they've had, you know, in some running backs pass, similar to Penn, talking to some guys. You know, Penn went on a quarterback stretch of Todd Bolsler. There was a year gap in there. Then they went right to Mike McCurdy, right to Eddie Jenkins, right to Andrew Paolini. That's an incredible stretch. That's 4 dudes. That's like 3 A-pluses and a B-plus. Like, that doesn't happen all the time for a program. Same thing for Navy. They went from, like, either, I forget who came first, Derek Eric Wellemann or David Williams. I forget. I think it was David Williams, then Eric Wellemann, then Brandon Clemens came down. When there was somebody in their gap, then Brandon Clemens came down. Then they went like right from Brandon Clemens to Caleb Champion, right from Caleb Champion to Matthew McGee, and right from Matthew McGee to Alex Tota. And Alex Tota's been getting touches since his freshman year. He could have been a starting running back his freshman year. It was just McGee in front of him and Champion in front of him. I don't think they have a guy quite on that level this year, which is the first time in a while that they didn't have like a Hall of Fame level running back just waiting, you know, for his turn to tilt the pill. So very, very interesting to see what they do moving forward with that. Still produced, still, you know, over 100 rushing yards as a team on the day. When you have Atwood doesn't run as much as some of the other quarterbacks in the league, but when he needs to run, he can run. He could have a 100-yard rushing game any game. You know, he's a threat to take it to the crib. He's a big, sturdy ball carrier, and he's got some good speed on him. So don't, similar to DeMayo, don't think he, just because he doesn't run all the time, don't think he won't run, and don't think he won't run to the end zone. He's not a guy who says, "Oh, I can only get 10 and go down." He could take it to the crib if he really needs to. So that'll be a way for them to manufacture positive rushing yardage. It's just very interesting that they did not have a rushing touchdown in this one. So testament to the stack defense and maybe a little bit of them not having that guy next up who's going to be a real needle mover. They have capable guys to tote the pill, but I'm not sure they have a guy who's really going to move the needle, you know, raise the level of that offense, at least early in the season. Fortunately enough, though, the passing game with Atwood has just been absolutely phenomenal. Again, him and the star connection with star receiver Andrew Margiotta was really good today. That was one of Atwood's three touchdowns. But the leading receiver on the day was senior wide receiver Joe Blong. He led the team with six receptions for 61 yards. Defensively, Navy had some of the usual suspects produce. Very, very evenly distributed performances from their guys, but senior defensive lineman Devin Martin led the team with nine tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, and a half a sack. I think Martin is in for a big, big, big year. Kind of had a down year last year. I shouldn't say down, just not as impactful as you would have expected from him. I mean, again, a lot of David Niski's production came from the fact that teams are starting to pay attention to Martin more. He didn't creep up on anybody last year, but I expect Martin to really have a bang, you know, go out with a bang this during his senior season. And he started the year off with almost 10 tackle performance. So he's definitely a guy to look out for, and offensive coordinators are going to have to key in and on. And it's going to be a nightmare matchup for a lot of tackles, man. Like, he's good. Good energy, great motor. Is going to be a guy who can really affect the run game and is in a decent enough pass rush to where you got to respect it. Navy is actually going to go on their bye week this week before they head back home to welcome Mansfield. Other side of this one is St. Thomas Aquinas. This was actually the closest scoring differential game they've played with Navy since they've played Navy. I believe this is their third matchup with Navy. So testament to how, you know, they're improving year through year. The Navy passing game, you know, was ultimately what killed them. But again, they did not allow a rushing touchdown today for a team that wants to tote the pill and run. So again, just very interesting. And again, I think you can attribute some of that to their defense. Ryan Kenny, who's a junior quarterback in St. Thomas Aquinas, had a decent enough day considering the pressure he was facing. He had pressure in his face all day, but he still managed to throw for 192 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Their best offensive performance on the day just came from senior athlete Reno Molina. He's one of these all-purpose guys who's in the CSFL who is just a nightmare. He's actually one of Sprint Football's better two-sport athletes. He's a lacrosse player at St. Thomas Aquinas. Ray Lingard for Quincy, who I'll get into later, is also a very, very decorated lacrosse player. So Reno holds that distinction in the CSFL, being an all-league performer in lacrosse as well as a CSFL all-league performer. And again, I list him as an athlete. I think he's listed as a receiver for stack, but he's a receiver, he's a running back, he's a kick returner. He's just one of those multi-purpose type of guys who is going to be able to just generate positive offensive yardage. You know, it might be 100 yards rushing one game, it might be 100 yards receiving another game, might be a kickoff return touchdown one game, but he's the type of guy, when he touches the ball, good things happen for the Spartan offense. Like in this one, he had 71 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, and then five receptions for 56 yards. 127 all-purpose yards for the senior. So, again, it's just one of those athletes. You want to get him the ball. You want him to touch the pill. And good things usually happen for them when he's involved in the offense. Defensively, sophomore Donnell White and junior linebacker Chris Jones were the two guys who really made it hard for the Navy offense. The pair have been making plays since they both entered the STAC program, respectively. Donnell last year and Chris Jones 2 years ago. The pair finished with 11. White finished with 11 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. And Jones added another 10 tackles and 3 tackles for loss. So those are two names you're going to hear a lot when you're watching a STAC game. Chris Jones in the middle and Donnell White on the edge is one of the better defensive ends in the CSFL. STAC hits their bye week as well before they head to New Jersey to visit Caldwell, not this week, but next week. So that wraps it up for our CSFL action. Army and Mansfield were both on byes this week. I believe Mansfield was slated to play Ourson Brodus, who, as we all know by now, unfortunately had to close prematurely. Thankfully, a lot of their athletes have found homes in the CSFL and the MSFL. So that's why you had two teams on a bye week at the same time. One was supposed to have a game where one was on a bye week. So Mansfield and Army will be getting into action next week. They actually kick off against each other. It'll be Army versus Mansfield next week, week two of the league, but both of those programs' first games. And we get into our MSFL action. So first one for this one was actually a Thursday night, which was Fompon versus Quincy. Great first game to kick off the season. Fompon won this one 25-20. My player of the game was sophomore athlete Chris Reckle, who has 60 rushing yards, 2 receptions for 82 receiving yards, and a touchdown, 142 all-purpose yards with a tutty. So similarly to Reno Molina, just another guy who is just a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete that you find ways for him to touch the ball. He actually was Fompon's most productive quarterback last season. He did a lot of things for them rushing and receiving, but also threw, you know, a decent amount of touchdowns and had a decent amount of passing yards for the Griffins. So he's another guy who you just watch. You want to line him up, create mismatches, and just watch him work. He had a long touchdown that got called back, unfortunately, too, so he would have had even more yards. But again, just a weapon X type of guy is the best way to describe it, where, again, line him up in different places, different formations, different things, and just watch him work. Just like Reno, good things happen when Chris Reckle is touching the ball for Fompon and the Griffins. Other than him, though, again, like a lot of teams in NMSFL, again, who all these teams are either in the first year in Oakland City and Wash, while everybody else is in their second year, they debuted a new quarterback. Freshman quarterback Tamaj Taylor got his first action in the MSFL. He threw for 227 yards with 2 touchdowns. Was not the most accurate, only has 6 completions on the day, but he was able to find his playmakers, which is essentially what you want your quarterback to do, especially a young quarterback. You're not going to ask him to slice and dice the defense with pinpoint accurate throws at this stage of his career, but he found his playmakers, particularly down the field, which ultimately led to them winning the game. Quincy did make a push late, which I'll talk about in just a second, but Caldwell came out of this one with the victory. Freshman wide receiver David Collins, who was in another new phase, had 3 receptions for 117 yards and 1 touchdown. So new faces at some core key positions on both sides of the ball for Fompon, but they made the most of their opportunities and came away with a W. Some names we already know on the defensive side of the ball, particularly their best defensive player, in my opinion, and one of the best players in the MSFL, in my opinion, is sophomore linebacker Avion Bass. He set the tone. The game-high 16 tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss. I mentioned it before previously, talking about some linebackers whose names you should know going into the season. Avion Bass is one of those guys. 16 tackles, first game of the season. Incredible. One of the most athletic linebackers I've ever seen play in the CSFL or the MSFL in their short time of existence. Just fast, long, violent, can cover, can pass rush, can blitz. Has everything you'd want out of a linebacker. You can man the middle when you're going to do some different formations and do some different things on defense. You can have him line up in Mike. Again, You can walk him up to the line of scrimmage and say, hey, go pass rush like a D-end. He's one of the most versatile, capable defensive players in all of spring football. And this week one performance definitely showed that. Another new name for the Griffins is freshman defensive back Jeremiah Dorsey. Made a lot of plays. He had 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 2 passes broken up, and 2 forced fumbles, one of which got returned for a touchdown. So defense helped Fontbonne secure this one. And they look good coming out of this one, man. With a young quarterback, some new running backs, some new faces, you know, there's the possibility a lot of things go wrong when you have that many new guys. But ultimately, they did what they had to do and secured the W. Next week, Fontbonne heads home to play Midway. The other side of this one, the Quincy Hawks, they almost won this one at the end. Similar to Cornell, time was not in their favor by the time they had things going, but definitely put on a strong performance. Quincy is, you can tell just after this first game, is already in a better position offensively than they were last year. It really, really started with this running game. Again, like a lot of the MSFL, lots of new names at some core key positions. We have junior running back C.J. Jackson, who finished the game with 139 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also added 2 receptions for 15 yards. So great first game for the junior. Really stamped himself in the MSFL. Really made it known that he's going to be a key player for Quincy moving forward. And if he can continue turning out performances like that, Quincy's going to be in a good position more often than not, in a position to win a lot of their games moving forward. Sophomore quarterback Nick Manzo, who's a name we've heard before, he split some time last year with senior quarterback Taylor Klusmeyer, who has moved on and has since graduated. So looks like Manzo is getting the start, is getting the nod at the quarterback position to start the season. He finished the game with 202 passing yards, no interceptions, but also no touchdowns. So you're definitely going to want to see him connect with some of their explosive receivers that they do have on the team, like Xavier Hinton. But you can't, you know, when he doesn't turn the ball over, that's a positive as well. So definitely in a position where they have a lot of things that they did in this first game that they can improve off of and head into next week on a high note. You know, despite losing the game, they did not have a horrible performance. So I think there's definitely things to take away from this one, despite them, you know, not securing the W. And I think that's Manzo's play. He definitely showed he's a capable quarterback. He showed that last year, he was just young, but definitely better from year 2 to year 1, and he's going to be a guy who can really be a catalyst for them moving forward, especially paired up with a dominant runner like C.J. Jackson in the backfield. Defensively, the Hawks showed some flashes of what this defense can become. A defense was their strong point last year as well. No one overly dominant performer today. Junior linebacker Ray Lingard, who's, you know, the best player on their defense, didn't have a quiet day, but not, you know, super, super explosive in terms of tackles for losses and sacks. He only had 5 tackles and 2 passes broken up. But freshman defensive lineman Josiah Paisley showed you something up front. He had 4 tackles with 2.5 tackles for a loss on the day. Quincy hits the road next week as they go to Ohio to visit Walsh University in Walsh's second game of their program's history. Speaking of Walsh, next up we have Midway versus Walsh. Midway won this one 29-26. This was Walsh's inaugural game and Midway's first game of their second season. However, this was actually Midway's first win in program history. The team went 0-7 last year, so really, really excited. I know everyone in that program was really excited week one. You know, really trying to get that monkey off of their backs and get this first win, which they did. My player of the game was freshman running back Matthew Young. He finished the game with 140 yards, 140 rushing yards, and he added 2 receptions for 27 yards. So again, Midway can secure their first win in program history. Congratulations to them. I know that's something they've been looking forward to quite some time. You know, despite going 0-7 last year, they were in some games last year. And they just ultimately didn't close them out or, you know, had mistakes that cost them the win. So I know this is a big, big deal for them, the players, the coaches, the entire university and the program. So, again, congratulations to them getting that monkey off of their backs. Again, like a lot of teams, we got some new quarterbacks. We need to get to know junior quarterback Connor Baker threw for 121 yards in his debut. He did not return to the game, however, in the second half. You know, hope he's okay. Hope if it was injury, it's nothing too serious. But they still managed to hang on to the win, even with some backup quarterbacks coming in. And a big reason for that, again, was the play of freshman running back Matthew Young. His 140 yards are the most in program history to date. So 100-yard, I believe it was also the first 100-yard rushing game in Midway history as well. So big difference from year one to year two to, you know, have a guy. Again, I don't think they had a rusher go for 100 yards last year. If they did, it wasn't 140. And to have a freshman in his first game of his career rush for 140, I think it's no coincidence you saw that performance out of him, and that's the game, you know, you get your first win in program history. So big ups to him and that Midway offense. Sophomore wide receiver Rudy Loomis led the team with 4 receptions for 78 yards. The defense had a very, very well-balanced attack. A bunch of guys with 4 tackles, 3 tackles, you know, all the way down the box score. But freshman defensive back Cameron McDonald definitely stood out. He had 4 tackles, 2 passes broken up, 1 fumble, 1 forced fumble, and 2 interceptions. So definitely a guy who left a imprint on the game and was very, very effective in helping Midway hang on to this one. Because, again, this one was close. Only 29-26. So Midway definitely got out of there, but they kind of squeaked it out of there because Walsh was definitely coming. Walsh is going to be a team who's, they're going to figure it out this year. You can definitely see that by the performance they put on the field, but I'll talk about them in just a second. Midway hits the road again next week as they go visit Fompon. Again, Walsh is in their inaugural season, and this was their inaugural game, their home opener, first home game in program history. And they started off with a bang. Walsh actually led this game early because the very first play of the game was an 85-yard kick return touchdown by sophomore wide receiver Jalen Gordon. So you can just think about the excitement and the juice that that brings. Like the very first kickoff, the very first time somebody in a Walsh uniform touches the ball for Walsh Sprint football is a touchdown, a long touchdown at that. So I know that's something that young man will remember forever. That's a memory no one can ever take away from him. I know with some of the inaugural teams, there has to be a first for everything. But if you're the guy to get that first, you know, insert statistic, it's one of the best memories that you'll ever have. You know, I was fortunate enough to have the first sack in Chestnut Hill history. And, you know, of all the sacks I did get, that one holds a special place in my heart just simply because it's the first. It's the first sack anyone at that school ever had. And he has the first special teams touchdown and just touchdown in general and Walsh Sprint football history. So again, congratulations to Jalen Gordon on that accomplishment. Outside of that, then came the usual ups and downs that you're going to get from a young team in their first game in program history, again, which is to be expected. They trotted out 2 different quarterbacks, sophomore quarterback Kyrie Fox and sophomore quarterback Nathan Gager. The 2 combined for 191 yards, 3 touchdowns, but the pair also threw 4 interceptions. So definitely something that they're going to need to improve on. It's going to be hard to win games when you lose to turnover battle that drastically. It's just going to be hard for you to put your offense and put your best players in positions to make the best plays when you're turning the ball over. But again, week 1, brand new team, new coaching staff, a lot of them not new to coaching, but new to coaching this team, maybe new to this level. I'm new to the MSFL, so they are going to improve. Players, coaches, administrators, everything's going to get better with this team, but you really liked what they put out there for their first game. And again, almost won it. Almost won it. I'll put Midway's experience as a deciding factor for them winning the game, just because they have some more sophomores than Walsh, and they have guys who, again, played 7 games last year. So once they get that experience, and, you know, there aren't going to be too many rematches this year. I mean, you know, MSFL is the great format of their playoff tournament. So you'll see somebody you saw already in that. And then obviously you have the guys who win the league go into the championship game. But whoever they see, again, win, lose, or draw. Again, this is their first game. They may win, you know, some games throughout the season. But whoever they see for the second time is going to be in for a fight, because you can see just from that type of athletes they have and the coaching that's there, they're going to be a dangerous team moving forward. One of those guys who's going to be met just nasty is a freshman wide receiver Keon Hawkins Sims. He was the favorite target of both quarterbacks on the night. He finished with 5 receptions for 100 yards and 1 touchdown, so the first 100 yard game in Walsh Sprint football history. Again, another accomplishment that is going to live with this young man for the rest of his life and is going to be immortalized as, you know, first 100-yard game in program history. So that's definitely a big, big accomplishment. Big ups to Hawkins Sims. Defensive side of the ball, more good performances. Freshman D lineman Alaquan Harris led the game with 9 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, half a sack, 1 fumble recovery, and a pass broken up. And his teammate Traquan Taylor was a menace. Had 6 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. So really put the pressure on the Midway offense. And, you know, again, almost led the comeback. They almost got it. So really looking forward to them. Really looking forward to continuing to watch them play, develop, and get better throughout the season and grow as a program. They stay home next week as they welcome Quincy to Ohio. Next up, we have Bellarmine versus Oakland City. Bellarmine won this one 43-23. My player of the game is sophomore running back Brendan Reed. Ran for 232 yards with 4 touchdowns. Bellarmine came into this one as the more experienced team, similar to Midway versus Walsh. Oakland City is in their inaugural season, and this was their inaugural game. But talk about Bellarmine first. They won the game. Despite them winning the game, the score is a little misleading. This game was a lot closer than it appeared. It was essentially a 1-score game going into the late third, early fourth, and then Bellarmine pulled away late, turnovers by Oakland City, and again, the youth starts to show. The more experienced team with some star players started to pull away, but this was a game for most of the game. This was a game. Some turnovers, some good special team plays, ultimately led to being close, but again, Bellarmine just used their experience and some of their dominant players like Brendan Reed to pull away. Testament to Oakland City is the fact that the Bellarmine passing game was almost non-existent. Freshman, another new name at the quarterback position in the MSFL, freshman quarterback Luke Worley only threw for 6 yards with 1 interception. So that's the lowest passing totals across the CSFL and the MSFL. So they will improve on that. You know, they weren't the most prolific passing offense last year, but they're going to have to drastically improve with Worley and him being able to connect with the wide receivers. It's not all on him. You know, that's the beauty of football. It's a symbiotic relationship. Receivers can't get yards if the quarterback don't throw it. Quarterback can't generate yards if the receivers don't catch it. And then it all starts with the center. We can't play unless the center snapped the ball. But definitely something I know the coaching staff is going to key in on. They have a really, really good, well-diverse, really experienced coaching staff there at Bellarmine. You know, and if they want to continue to improve as a program, they're going to have to improve this passing game. You know, talk about Brendan Reed in a minute. It's phenomenal, phenomenal performance. But they are going to have to be able to pass the ball at an average level, bare minimum, if they want to, you know, contend for MSFL championships and be looked at as one of the better teams in the MSFL. Luckily, though, they happen to have maybe the best player in the MSFL, a top 5 player in all of sprint football, and sophomore running back Brendan Reed. Star running back ran for an amazing 232 yards with 4 touchdowns. It's crazy that this isn't even his first 200-yard rushing game. He had 1 or 2 of them last year. So just goes to show what type of player Reed is. Just a dominant force as a running back. Every type of run from inside zone, outside zone, toss, sweep. You give it to him with an option for the quarterback. He's running through people. He's running by people. Anything you ask him to do, he does. And a testament to the type of player he is in terms of his character. Most of the other big plays that Bellarmine generated, he was the lead blocker. You know, they had freshman running back Derek Gant, who on any other day, in any other game, 67 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns is a good day for a freshman in a debut. It's just overshadowed because Brendan Reed had 232 for 4. Like, that's insane. That's crazy. Yeah, I certainly am going to make my way out to an MSFL game one day. Logistically, I just got to figure it out. I think my best bet may be to go to a Walsh game. I'm in the Philadelphia surrounding area. So, you know, just driving 6 hours through Pennsylvania to get to North Canton may be my best bet in terms of just proximity without having to fly. But I gotta see an MSFL game, but I gotta see Brendan Reed play in person, man. Like, he is one of the best running backs I've ever seen play in spring football, and it was evident and super clear last year. And it looks like he's even better, even faster, somehow even stronger. you know, a year in a college weightlifting program, you know, continue to grow into his body. Again, everybody, for the most part, 90% of the league was freshmen. So now they're 18 turning 19. Now some of them are 19 turning 20. So that pays big dividends. Just having a mature body and a mature mind is definitely going to go a long way for Bellarmine this year, with Brendan Reed as their catalyst for their offense. It's going to be a guy you're going to have to watch and should be in a running just off. Some guys score 4 rushing touchdowns in a season, and you have a good year. You might have 500-some yards and 4 touchdowns. He got half of that in yards and 4 touchdowns in game 1. So watch out for him, and he's undoubtedly the guy defenses are going to key in on whenever they versus Bellarmine. So big ups to his incredible performance for the Knights as they took this one. And again, he was great character, great teammate. The best other plays that weren't him, he was a lead blocker for Derek Gant. So big ups to that Bellarmine offense for, despite the passing woes, still did everything they wanted to do and needed to do in the running game to secure the win. Defensively, very, very spread out, very, very even across the board for the Knight defenders, for the Bellarmine defenders. But one guy stood out to me was freshman linebacker Luke Jackson. Excuse me, and sophomore defensive lineman Jordan Haywood. They were 2 of the only guys who had some tackles for loss and some sacks. The pair combined for 5 tackles, but 5 tackles for loss and 4 sacks. So, again, lots of guys with 3 tackles, lots of guys with 2 tackles, lots of guys with 4 tackles. But, you know, you key in on those guys who are able to get penetration and get some, make some plays in the backfield, are always going to be the guys who stick out and make some key plays for their defense. So, Bellarmine heads back home next week as they welcome CCSJ, the Crimson Wave. Other side of this one, we have Oakland City. Again, their inaugural game and their inaugural season, similar to Walsh, did not disappoint. Again, the score does not tell the whole story. This was a game for a while, but they showed how dangerous they can be. Again, lots of promise. Then come the ups and downs that come with young players at new positions, first college games, first game in program history. So it's to be expected, right? It was bound to happen. And you'd rather those hiccups come out early than late in the season. And they won't make some of the same mistakes that they made throughout this game by game 3. And then they won't make those same mistakes by game 6 and then the playoff game. So they are going to be fine. I think Walsh and Oakland City, for both playing their first game, showed a lot of promise. I've seen worse first games from teams in the CSFL. For sure. So they're definitely in a good place, both of these programs, as they move forward. Freshman quarterback Jacob Lee is one of those guys who really showed something. He showed some flashes. He threw for 192 yards, had 45 yards on the ground with a rushing touchdown. But you kind of mitigate 192 yards with 4 interceptions. So, again, that's just the natural ups and downs. It's going to happen. You'd rather he get those accuracy issues out the window now. You rather get those receiver drops out the window now. So again, by game 3 and game 5 and game 7, they should look a little bit more polished. But again, definitely promising. Showed you a lot of good things in this game. Again, throwing for almost 200 yards in your first game is really, really solid. You just want to fix that TD to turnover ratio. A freshman wide receiver Austin Davenport led the team in receiving yards. He has 6 for 88. And then the Oakland City defense had some, again, really, really good performances. Freshman defensive lineman Moses Wells led the team, 12 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack. Andre Kirkland was a freshman linebacker, 7 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1 sack. And then the guy who stood out to me, where if they won this game, he'd have been my player of the game, freshman DB Kanye Johnson. He had 10 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, a sack, 2 pass, 2 PBUs, and an INT. Similarly to this game that Navy had against Stack in terms of an anomaly type of performance, I don't know the last time a guy had 10 plus tackles, at least 1 tackle for loss, at least 1 sack, and at least 1 pick, right? I think that's some pretty rare air he's breathing up there with the performance like that. Again, I have to do some detective work. Again, that would be hours of scouring box scores, but just knowing what I know about spring football in both leagues, that is not something that happens very, very often. You could have 20 tackles and no sacks. You could have 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 regular tackle, right? You could have 3 picks, 3 tackles for loss, but no sacks. But I don't remember a guy having basically hitting every category you want, you know, except a fumble or a fumble recovery. But he hit every other category on the defense, at least one. Like that's real deal stuff right there from Kanye Johnson. So big ups to him. I know for a fact he's in some rare company with that performance right there. And again, showing you the type of players that they have at Oakland City, showing you what they're capable of doing against, you know, Reed still ran for 232 now, but they had some guys out there now. Like they, Oakland City definitely got some guys. So it'll be interesting to watch them develop as the season goes on. Oakland City stays home as they welcome St. Mary of the Woods College next week, who are the MSFL defending champs. Speaking of the Woods, this is our final game of the weekend. This was the late night game. I was up late night watching this one, but it was well worth it. The stream was not really there, but I was keeping up with the game play for play. There's a little bit, some discrepancies with some stats. You know, I know they gave a touchdown to a player when it was Patrick Pereira who actually had the touchdown. So hopefully they can get those box scores fixed up. That way you reward the players for the statistics that they, you know, produced in the game. But I digress. My player of the game in this one was freshman defensive lineman, linebacker hybrid, DeLon Harvey. He had 9 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and a sack and a half. So this was, you know, the game we could have hoped for. Again, score is not indicative of how close this one was. This game was 7-7 for a minute. It was 7-7. In fact, CCSJ had the lead early, first or second play of the game. They had a pick six. I'll talk about that when I talk about the Wave. But this game was very, really close. It's just ultimately towards the end of the game, the Woods started to settle in and they started to pull away. But both offenses were struggling early in the game. Another new quarterback name we're going to get to know this season, junior quarterback Jeremiah Toskey. Up and down, you know, despite being a junior, despite being a little older, a little bit more experienced. First game for the Pomeroys. And, you know, it showed. He finished the night with 139 passing yards, threw 4 touchdowns, had 2 picks, but added 57 yards in the ground and 2 rushing touchdowns. So 3 tutties to 2 picks. You know, that turnover ratio you can live with, even though you want to get those interceptions down. Well-balanced rushing attack saw 6 players contribute to a 236-yard rushing game. So they're used last season to having Patrick Pereira, you know, dominate the touches. You know, he's their bell cow. I have no doubt in my mind. He's still going to be one of the dynamic players for them. He had a rushing touchdown on the day and a receiving touchdown. That one was given to another player, but when you watch the tape, it was him, you know, who caught the ball. So, again, hopefully they can get that cleared up. But 2 touchdowns from him. He's one of the better players in the MSFL, so you're definitely going to see a lot of production from him. But it looks like they have some other guys now. So going to be very, very hard to deal with them, particularly with running backs coming out of the backfield. Look for them to continue their dominant rushing ways throughout the season. Sophomore wide receiver Devron Johnson led the team with 3 receptions for 89 yards. He's their most dynamic wide receiver. Didn't score on the day, but he's a guy you're going to have to watch. He's going to be one of Toskey's main playmakers throughout the season. Again, defensively, freshman defensive lineman, linebacker DeLon Harvey just terrorized the Wave. Again, 5 tackles for loss in your first game is legit. Some guys never have a 5 tackle for loss game. Some guys get 5 tackles for loss in a season. Defensive lineman types. You know what I'm saying? Some guys have 10 for their career. He got 5 in a game. That's what's up. Like, that's what's up. Especially coming from a guy who, you know, that's the position I played, hybrid DN, most of my career. Second half of my career, started doing linebacker, did a combination of both, bumped in to play Mike. I really focus on those guys who offer that versatility for their defense and are able to get penetration consistently, demonstrate good pass rush moves, good motor, good get off, good bend, and he demonstrated all of those things this past weekend. So really, really going to be keeping an eye on him. You know, I don't think this will be a one-game performance from him. I think this could be a guy who could be a weapon for them throughout the season and the rest of his career. Right behind him, freshman defensive back Austin Petrillo and freshman linebacker Jesse Lara both had big games. The pair combined for 14 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and a half a sack between the two of them. So St. Mary the Woods College definitely reloaded. You know, lost some guys, as a lot of teams do from year to year. In terms of graduation and off the field things as well, but they definitely retooled and reloaded, and the right guys came back and are committed to that program. So they are, it looks like they're back, man. You know, it's a new year, year 2. Everybody looks different in MSFL, but they look real, just like they did last year. So definitely going to be a team to watch, and she'll be a favorite as the season continues. St. Mary the Woods College hits the road next week to visit newcomer Oakland City. And we got CCSJ on the other side of this one. So again, this was a close game, but a late surge for the Pomeroys just proved to be too much for the Wave in the second half. Again, another new quarterback name we're going to have to learn. It'll be interesting to see what he can do. Freshman quarterback Javion Lewis threw for 115 yards. And like a lot of these freshmen, a lot of these first-time starters, ups and downs, it's completely normal. This is going to happen. Again, even if some of these teams have a new quarterback in their second year, they're still a team just in their second year. This is their eighth or ninth game as a program. So even though Lewis wasn't there last year, his team's only played eight games without him. And it's his first game. So it's bound to still be some mistakes. But again, when you're just looking at the talent, you're looking at the arm, you're looking at the, you know, you're just evaluating the talent on the field at these in particular positions, Javion Lewis showed he could be all right, man. Again, 150 yards, two interceptions, they'll fix that. You know what I'm saying? I think they're better at the quarterback position than they were last year. And they essentially got all the way to the championship game last year, just off of a super, super strong running game and a super strong defense. So I think they're in a little bit better position than they were throwing the ball last year. So expect them to improve. Expect Lewis to improve throughout the season. Flip side of that, last year the running game was strong. The running game was not much help in this one. The Wave only produced 17 positive rushing yards as a team. So you look at Bellarmine, had a load of rushing yards, minimal offensive yards. This one, CCSJ, had, you know, some offensive yards through the air, you know, standard average number, normal number, minimal rushing yards. And CCSJ is a team that wants to run the ball. I was actually quite surprised. Again, it's a testament to the Pomeroy's defense, but they had some guys like Elijah Antis, who I think could break out this year, did not have a great game. And you can attribute that to the Pomeroy's defense. Freshman wide receiver Jacob Oman finished tonight as the leading receiver. He had 7 receptions for 67 yards. The Wave defense did good early. In fact, like I said, the first or second play, I'm pretty sure it was the first play of the game, they ran a pick back for a touchdown. That was sophomore defensive back Nino Barbosa. He had 2 tackles, 1 PBU, and 2 INTs. And that first one was a pick 6. Now, to his credit, he did catch the ball. He did run it back. He did get the touchdown. But it would be disingenuous of me not to mention, where is he at? Quintarius Davis, who's a guy I mentioned leading up to the season as a defensive back needing to watch, made a great play on the ball. This is one of those picks where he didn't get the stat, but he made the play, right? He went up, contested the ball, kind of went through his hands, got knocked down, and Nino Barbosa was in the right place at the right time. But when you have good play recognition and you study the tape and you play with speed and you play with fast, you end up in the right spot more times than not. So just wanted to be said, though, Quintarius Davis made the play. He didn't get the pick. He didn't get the touchdown, but he made the play. And Nino Barbosa capitalized on it, which is what good teammates do. But that's something I'm real big on. I'm a stickler for as a former player, you know, when I'm watching games. And as a coach now, as a coach for the last 5 or 6 years, you know, great players make the play that makes the play. And that's something Quintarius Davis did for his team, you know, with Nino Barbosa taking advantage of it and getting the pick 6. But both of those guys are going to be great, great players for CCSJ for years to come. And all throughout this year, another guy who, again, was a guy that said, watch out. He's going to get better. He's going to keep being good. His sophomore linebacker, Trevor Boosie, he led the team with 9 tackles, half a tackle for loss, and 1 forced fumble. So the usual suspects for the CCSJ defense did what they were supposed to do, man. They played tough football. Just couldn't keep it together late as the surge came from the Pomeroys, and ultimately they took the game. The Wave are going to hit the road next week. They're going to be a 3-game road trip. So lots of fun for those players and that team as they hit the road. They are going to go to Bellarmine next week. So that is our week 1 recap. MSFL action, CSFL action. Great first week. Great opening weekend. Lots of great plays. All-time great performances. Close games. Almost some completed bounce back performances in terms of, you know, being able to secure the win despite an early deficit, comebacks, but it was as good of a week one as you're going to see, man. I sound like a beaten, broken record, but the last like 4 years I've been like, man, this season's going to be great. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be the best year ever. Again, this year might be the best year ever, man. When you look at the quarterback play in the CSFL, the parity in the MSFL, two new teams in the MSFL, you're looking at some of these, you know, fantastic players. You got your Brendan Reed, you got your Chris Reckles, you got your Brandon Atwoods, your Cassid Raymonds, your Reno Milanas, your Anthony Cancelleras. You know, Chestnut Hill looks like they're headed in the right direction. Caldwell's as strong as ever. Cornell looks like they're bounced back. You know, Penn has some question marks. What are they going to do about that? Navy looks strong. You know, Army should be back. You know, they have, again, Mikhail Wilkie in that quarterback mix is going to be incredibly dynamic with that offense. And Midway just got their first program win. And Quincy almost had to come back on Fontbon. And Fontbon has already started off better than they did last year. So just a lot of good football already played. I can't wait to continue to cover this season. So thank you guys for tuning in. As always, I am your host, Kyle. I will catch you guys next week for our week 2 recap. Peace.